We're glad to have Brother Ron Young. We appreciate it. Appreciate his friendship over the years, and Sister Belinda. And we're glad to have you, brother.
Amen. God bless you, preacher. One of the rare times to be on radio that I just want to say that your pastor looks great. I'm telling you, I don't know. I don't know if Miss Donna's been running him or exercising him or something. He kind of stumbled, though, the other day. I can see he's got a hitch in his giddy-up, and you can't see that on the radio. But other than that, you look great, preacher. I'm glad. I'm glad the Lord has strengthened you and blessed you and makes me a little jealous. I want to see what you're doing. All right. But Ezekiel chapter number 2 tonight. Ezekiel chapter number 2. Always enjoy coming through and being with the great people of Grace Baptist Church here in Orangeburg, South Carolina. I'm thankful for the radio, and I'm thankful for the outreach from this church and the gospel message around the world. And I'm thankful for the pastor that you have. I'm thankful for his family. And I'm thankful that the Lord has over these years greatly blessed this church. And I'm glad that we have the privilege every once in a while to come through in our journeys and to be with you. I guess you found your place, right? Yeah. Ezekiel's not easy to find, except it's a pretty big book. So if you found your place, let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. There was a few weeks ago that I was looking at the text, and your pastor has probably preached on this in Ezekiel 1 and 2, and that is about the sent hand, the hand of God throughout these first three chapters. The hand of the Lord is mentioned more than a few times, and how that the hand of the Lord was sent. The hand of the Lord was laid upon Ezekiel. Even the hand of God sent Ezekiel. And I have a message I preach on entitled The Sent Hand. As I was looking back at the first of the year, and I was going to preach again on the hand of the Lord, chapter 2 in the first verses here jumped out at me. And when it did, I said, thank you, Lord, because I believe that it became a message and not just a sermon for the new year. And so the Lord burdened my heart over the weekend or this past week as we got closer to the evening that we would be with you. And we feel like that's the will of God. So we want to share that with you tonight. And I hope that God will help all of us. I know it helped me. And I hope that it will help you as well. I wouldn't say it's very bombastic. I think you've got to listen on purpose. But everything that you'll see here in the text is an exposition of a great truth that seems to be as vital and as current as the hour that we're living in right now. And I think that you'll agree with me by the time we finish the message tonight also. I trust that you do more than agree with me on the time that we live in, but you also agree with me on the challenge that God has for us and the work that the Lord has for us to do. Ezekiel chapter 2, we begin reading verse number 1. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. I want to preach on this thought tonight with the help of the Lord, a powerful potential, a powerful potential. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessings upon his word tonight. Lord, we thank you for all the singing and the worship of the saints of God. We thank you for every amen. We thank you for every hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for the choir singing, the special singing, the great music. We thank you for the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of your people. And we know that there are those listening by way of radio that were not able to be here tonight. And I pray that you'd encourage them and bless them and bring them back to the house of the Lord on Thursday night this week. And then, Lord, we ask you that you might encourage the saints of God here and speak to our hearts. And, Lord, though we are preaching to believers, there may be one that is in our midst without Christ. Please, Lord, may this night be the night that they will say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved for all of eternity. Thy will be done, I pray, and search us through thy word. And I thank you tonight that we have the privilege to preach to this great congregation. And I pray that you might bless each and every one of us, that we not forget the things that we hear tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. And standing in attention to the word of God. The things that I read just a moment ago, to many folks in casual reading may not realize this, but I want you to stay with me for just a moment. I'm going to give you some things ahead of the curve before we get into the details of the verses that we've read. There are similarities to the day of Ezekiel that we read in chapters 1, 2, and 3, that is to the hour, the very time. The truths of chapter number 2 challenged my heart for this new year, and I hope it challenges yours as well. With the challenges came a commission that God gave to Ezekiel. And I'm convinced that every believer in here tonight has been commissioned by the Lord. We've got a work to do for the Lord. And with that, we've got some obstacles. We've got some things that we're going to have to face. We're going to have be able to overcome some things in order to get the work of God done. It is not an easy time that we live in, but it's the greatest time, especially with the reality of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know, maybe some of you listened by way of radio or YouTube back in the time of Thanksgiving. I was in camp meeting and several of the men of God preached, and they were powerful message, great messages about the potential of this year, the potential with having a new administration, and that encourages everybody, anybody with any kind of sense at all understands the potential of what all that is about. But then in the midst of all of that, and as patriotic as I am, I do understand as a believer the coming of Christ is imminent. Since it is imminent, I'm not supposed to be thinking that things are going to get better. Not that I have to live in a pessimistic attitude, but truly, from the time of the election, my concern, and I've told our church to pray, I was not convinced that even our president-elect would even be inaugurated because somebody would try to take him out. And the truth is I believe that all the things that's been jumbled around in Washington, D.C. over this weekend indicates that that's exactly what is going on. So the president-elect is marked. He was marked during the summertime. Not only is he marked, but our country is marked. We're in the midst of the perilous times that God said was going to come our way. And we could argue and debate about whether or not we are under the judgment of God right now. I am convinced that we are. And the things, if you listen on the news from whether you go all the way to California or whether you go to the Middle East or wherever you're at, you see the things that at one time used to work, now the wheels are falling off and the results are not what we used and come to expect in an excellent hour as Americans. But there's been a lot of things that are troubling and seems to be a lot of things that adds burdens upon the saints of God as we understand that the coming of Christ is imminent. If the coming of Christ is imminent and we would be unbelievers, if we did not believe that, then therefore the Antichrist is walking among us now. So we're so close to the coming of Christ. And with that comes the judgment of God. Now, that does not discourage me. That does not defeat me, because the Bible clearly tells us that if we are forewarned, then therefore we can be forearmed and have the armor on of light, and putting on the armor of light in the midst of the darkness that we live in and in the midst of the challenging hour. Thank God for the power of God and the presence of the Lord allow us to succeed and to see by the grace of God if there's any brands that can be plucked from the burning in these last days. And who knows, if you're here tonight without Jesus, you could bow that proud head and humble your heart before God and say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of the Savior. And you may be the very one that completes the bride of Christ and we get out of here. So the coming of Christ is imminent. So we live in the last days of the church. And Ezekiel is dealing with the similar situations as he begins to preach and as he begins to minister to the people that are around him. Let me make mention of three things tonight in regard to the challenges that we face. Number one, Ezekiel faced challenges all around him. His challenge, number one, were the people he was addressing. No less than 9 times the scriptures tell us that they are a rebellious people, a rebellious house, a rebellious group of folks. And the people were a challenge to Ezekiel because of rebellion. The Bible speaks of them in this text as being hard-headed, hard-hearted on 2 occasions, chapter 2 and verse number 4. Look at it with me, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. Look with me in chapter 3 and verse number 7. But the house of Israel will not hearken to thee, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. And in chapter 2, and verse number 3, look at it with me. You find, he says, and he said unto me, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. Now watch what he says now. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. The challenge of the people around us are that they are rebellious, they're hard-headed, they're stubborn, impudent, hard-hearted. And then God says, they've always been that way. Their daddy was that way, they're that way, and even up until this day, they are still rebellious. What am I saying? I'm saying that the Lord is telling Ezekiel, they don't plan to change. We're living in an hour where folks do not plan on changing. They're satisfied in the condition that they're in tonight. Headed on the broad road to destruction, and yet they're doing it, partying, and in great glee, and they think that they're going to be all right, and they rebel and buck against the house of God, against the preaching of the Word of God, against the message that I'm preaching tonight. And the challenge, every one of us as believers has the challenge all around us of the people that we face. Then number two, there's the challenges that produce a problem. He says in chapter 2 and verse 5, chapter 3 and verse 11, chapter 3 and verse 27, they're probably not going to listen to you. Now that's a problem. Not only they're rebellious and they don't plan to change, but they're not going to listen to you either. They don't plan to listen to you. Verse number 5 of our text, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house. Look with me in verse number 11, chapter 3. And go get thee to them of the captivity and unto the children of thy people and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Putting it off, putting up a wall, saying, I'll listen to you another day. They might hear. The potential is they might hear, but unlikely. They're not planning on hearing. They're planning on putting it off, procrastinating, saying, I'll listen to you later. If I get in trouble, I'll call you, but don't bother me right now. Chapter 3, verse 27, he says, but when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, he that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house. And let me sum this up before I move further in the message, and that is verse number 27. There are two classes of people. Those that will hear are those that will put it off and put up a wall. But watch what he says in verse 27. He says they're a rebellious house. So the root is the problem. Everybody's got the same root. Everybody's got the same root, and that root is rebellion. So from rebellion, will a person hear? Boy, they've got to rise above that obstacle, don't they? And so the two classes of people that we meet every day, the two classes of people that we come in contact with are those that will either hear the message of the Word of God, hear your testimony, believe the Word of God, or they will put up a wall, resist, and say, come and talk to me later. I'm not interested right now. And they put it off. But the root problem with them is they've got to overcome their own rebellion. And we live in that hour. We live in that hour of the occult. We live in that hour of witchcraft. The Bible says that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And one of the greatest sins in the hour that we live in is that of rebellion. The reason why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed was not because of sodomy. It was because of pride. Because of their pride, they rebelled against God, and in so doing burned in their lust one with another. And God said, it's the pride thing. When it came to Lucifer, it was a pride thing, and he rebelled against God.
Rebellion is the root of the hour that we live in. Now, if someone's listening by way of radio, are you willing to listen? Are you willing to hear? For you see, you've got to fight a challenge in your own heart because this is not your nature. Your nature is to rebel. And God says we're dealing with that root problem with every one of us, and that is of rebellion. All of us have that problem. All of us have to fight that. However, the one who hears, the one who listens to the voice of the Lord, the one who listens to the truth, that sin of rebellion can be broken in their lives. And so Ezekiel had challenges all around him. It was the people. It was the problem of the people rebelling against God. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize that we live in that hour. Then number two, amen. Not only is the challenge around Ezekiel, but the challenge was in Ezekiel. The challenge is in me. The challenge is in you. Watch this. Verse number 6 of our text, chapter 2. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Verse number 6 is saying to Ezekiel, as God is telling every one of us, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Not only is it not going to be easy, it doesn't get any better. It's going to be hard. The hour that we live in is not going to be easy for the child of God, but it's going to be hard. And he tells Ezekiel, it's going to be hard for you. It's going to be tough. The hour that we're living in, if you walk with the Lord, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. Watch this. I saw this, verse number 6, something rather unusual. The phrase, or the clause, though briars and thorns be with thee. Now, my mental sharpness is not always there. But I did think that I'd read that before in the Word of God. Right? Would you say, yeah, I've seen that before in the Word of God. I might have seen it in the Garden of Eden. I might have seen it under the judgment of the Lord upon this earth, the thorns and the briars. But I looked it up and found out that there's no other place in the Word of God that this clause is given except in this text. Though briars and thorns be with thee. He says to Ezekiel, you're going to have problems that you've never experienced before. There's going to be complications that will be unexplained, unexpected, that you're going to have to endure. And Ezekiel is been laid out before by God. God's laid out the reality that what you're about to face, Ezekiel, back those many years ago, what you're about to face, Ezekiel, is going to be unlike anything that you've ever experienced. He was saying to Ezekiel, this year's going to be tough. Now listen carefully. We as men of God know this is true. And the generation that follows us, we scratch our heads and we wonder with amazement how the next generation of preachers is going to make it. For there were so many things that I have faced that men of God before me never had to face. There are things that your pastor has faced and problems and challenges among the people of God and also in the community that was unheard of years and years ago. And yet the challenge is in us that it won't be easy. it will be hard for us, and also these challenges are going to be new, unexpected, unexplained, and then he throws in the scorpions. Cheer up, things are going to get worse. He throws in the scorpions. While I'm trying to deal with things that are unexpected and things I cannot explain, and there's a spiritual undercurrent of darkness that is coming against every one of us. You're feeling it. You know it. If you try to walk with God, there is going to be a constant resistance, and the devil's got new toys and new ideals to come up against you. And while all of this is going on in this resistance, you've got to watch out at your feet for a scorpion. You've got to watch out where you sit down. When you come to rest, there's one right there. So everywhere you turn, there's a thorn. Everywhere you turn, there's a briar. You're going to have to go through that. You're going to have to fight through that. You're going to have to push through that, and it'll be things that the past generation never had to experience, and they've never had those things and those challenges before them. Am I not talking about the year that we live in? And yet God is giving this to Ezekiel. I'm negative right now. We'll get to the positive in just a moment, but I'm telling you, the challenges are around us. The challenge is in us. Now, look with me in verse number 6. He says again, the last part, "Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." Three things that the Lord says in that text. Don't be afraid. Then he said, don't be dismayed. I looked up the word dismayed in this text, and it may be that dismayed is the same in the Old Testament, but I do know in this text, this word dismayed means to be broken down. It means the resistance is so tough that you could endure a breakdown. I'm not talking about a nervous breakdown. And there's been those who've suffered that. But Satan and the resistance of people's hearts against you is inevitably going to break you down. How many folks get out of the house of God because of family? Because of friends? They watch somebody else get out of the house of God. They watch somebody else stumble and fall. And they say, wow, I've been hanging in there, but this is the last straw. And quit on God. You know I'm telling it right. And there's someone in here that has faced that before. We've all faced that at times, and the whole resistance against us is to break us down. Now, listen, I think I'm not very strong. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, because I don't think I'm a big enough gun, if you will, for Satan to be troubled with me. He would send one of his imps. Satan's got bigger fish to fry than me, so he sends one of his imps. But by the word of God, and by the example of the Savior, and by the text in James 1, I can say no to temptation. I can say no to what the enemy throws against me. However, when the brother that I love turns his back on God, when the people who I'm walking with now quits going to church, it's that breaks me down. An imp from darkness can't break me down, but somebody who might have been my friend that used to walk beside me and walk with God and now goes back in apostasy, and that works on your heart, that works on your mind. Now, you know, there's been a lot of folks that are out of church, and you may be listening by radio, and you've become a sorry critter, and you've gotten out of church, and you blamed it on somebody else. Listen, my friend, you listen to me carefully tonight as this preacher tells you this. The man of God that is in this pulpit, the man of God that pastors this place, has one excuse after another excuse, and we could mound up the excuses to quit on God because of people that let us down, and you let one person let you down, and you quit on God. Shame on you. And the God of heaven says, don't be that way. Don't break down. Don't be afraid. The breaking down was the look of the people. He said, don't be dismayed at their looks. There's been times when man of God preaches from the pulpit, and he can tell by the look that comes back to him. It breaks him down. It breaks his heart. And he says, I don't know which direction they're going to go in. How many more are going to fall? How many more did we put confidence in? And you say, oh, I'm spiritual. I don't put any confidence in men. Forgive me. But I couldn't pastor the church unless I didn't trust the people I'm talking to. If I thought I was preaching to a bunch of rebellious people that are liars and no good accounts, I'd quit them. I'd go find somebody who loved God. So that means I have to judge everybody that I preach to as people who love God. It keeps me going. And so the problem in the hour is this. You can be broken down. But the Lord said, don't do that, Ezekiel. Don't let their looks break you down. Don't let it dismay you. Don't be afraid. Don't break down. And then he said this in verse number 8. Look at this. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I have, that I give thee. So don't be afraid. Don't break down. And don't be like them. The only hope that this world has is for you not to be like them. The only hope that your neighbor has who doesn't know God is for you not to be like them. You cannot be like the world and expect to bring that person to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is impossible. It is anti-scriptural. It is unbiblical. God wants us to be different from the world, and it creates a thirst and a hunger because that man of the world says, I don't know how they do it, but something's different about them. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't break down, and don't be like them. Now watch what the Lord does in verses number 9 and 10 of chapter 3. He says in verse 9, as an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks. He says it again, repeats these things of being afraid and being broken down or dismayed, though they be a rebellious house. Verse 10. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart and hear with thine ears. Now verse 10, and you've read it with me maybe for the first time in a long time. I do not want to add words here, but I want to show you the impression that God gives in verse 10 to Ezekiel. He said, literally this, would you be different than the rest of them and hear me and receive what I got to say? You know, I come to Grace Baptist Church tonight, and I get to fellowship with folks that when the Lord steps down in their life and he stirs the water, you listen.
When I leave tonight, you've heard, you've listened, you heard the word of God. The Lord, in verse 10, does not browbeat Ezekiel. Now, the rest of the crowd, they're rebellious. The rest of the crowd is mean as a junkyard dog. The rest of the crowd will not receive. And yet he gives Ezekiel the option in verse 10. You may not see the option, but the option is this. Would you receive it? Amen. The hope that I've got is that I do not look at others and walk according to what others are doing, but I will receive what God has for me. The challenge is in me. The challenges are around us, but the challenge is in me. Then number three, I see the challenge from the Lord. What is the challenge from the Lord? Watch what God does with Ezekiel, and I profess unto you, God does that with every believer. In verse number 1 of chapter 2, he stands him up. He's been on the ground. He reveals his weakness and God stands him up. Then he sends him out. Then the Spirit of God enters into Ezekiel. And God speaks and is in conversation with Ezekiel. Those of you that understand the old times of the Old Testament know that the Holy Ghost did not come and inhabit believers. He came upon an individual for a purpose or a work that needed to be accomplished, and then the Holy Spirit would lift off of that individual when the job was accomplished. In the New Testament, though, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of the believer. And every person in here tonight that's saved, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. And according to Romans chapter number 8, he that hath not the Spirit of God is none of his. So salvation is based on the fact that when you got saved, the Holy Spirit regenerated you, born you anew, and as the man of God was talking about just a moment ago, gave to you a new nature. And that new nature identifies with the Holy Ghost of God. In this text, and this is what excited me, other than other things I'm preaching tonight, but what excited me was that God reached into Ezekiel's life and put his spirit inside of him. He put Ezekiel in the same position that your pastor is in, that I am in, but that you are in as a believer, and that is the Spirit of God living inside of us. And so when we get down, God gets us up.
Amen.
When we feel like we're alone in this thing, the Lord speaks to us. When we feel like we're powerless, the Spirit of God works in our lives. And we feel like that we're doing nothing for the Lord sends us to do a work for Him every day in our walk. Now look with me in chapter 3 and verse number 24. Then the Spirit entered into me and set me upon my feet and spake with me, and said unto me, go shut thyself within thine house. Now, watch this. The Spirit is on the inside of Ezekiel. He's standing on the outside, and he's being spoken to by the Word of God. Now, in this year that we live, and in the few minutes that we have before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it wonderful that the Spirit of God is on the inside of us and that He allows us to stand for Him and that the Word of God speaks to our heart every day? Thank God for that privilege that we do not face the battles alone. He is there at all times. And he has for every one of us a job to do. Somebody tomorrow needs to hear about Jesus. Somebody tomorrow needs to hear you say, do you know that Jesus loves you?
Amen.
God's got a work for you to do tomorrow. He's got a work for you to do on Tuesday. He's got a work for you to do. That's what this church is all about. And that is a work that God has every one of us to do. So, Ezekiel, he gets a privilege that nobody else got in the Old Testament. That is the Spirit of God in him. In every one of us, we don't even think anything about it.
And the Spirit of God is in us. He allows us to stand for Him. And He speaks the Word of God to our heart. Now watch this. I'm going to close. Now, but don't get excited about my closing, all right? Because it may take me a little bit. But I'm closing. The landing gear's out. Now watch this. Verse number 13 of chapter 3. I find the power of God is with him. Look with me in verse 13. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and a noise of a great rushing. Now, how many of you know a little bit about chapter number 1 of Ezekiel? A little bit. All right. Chapter number 1 is the evidence that we need to know that there are UFOs. I just wanted to get your attention. Chapter 1 of Ezekiel is a wheel in a wheel. In Ezekiel, there are four living creatures. They are facing outward in four directions. They do not turn. They immediately, like lightning as it flashes, the whole of them move this way, move that way, move the other way. They move within the firmament. There's a wheel within a wheel that has eyes. They are spinning. As they're spinning, these creatures are glowing, and they glow beginning at the feet, and they rise up, and a continual glowing is going on. Beryl is used, the color beryl, which is translucent. Amber is what the lights are on emergency vehicles, the yellow lights, and that is the word amber. And so there's the glow of the flame, and there's the glow of the lamps, and there's the glow of the fire. And as these wheels are turning a wheel within a wheel, they all got eyes. The last verse of chapter 1 says that is in reference to the glory of God. No, they're not UFOs. Okay? But what is found in chapter 1 is a written description of something that is this, has the inability to write the description just as if you were trying to write the description of heaven. Because chapter number 1 is dealing with a spiritual entity of the cherubims. And the cherubims were used by the Lord of glory to look and find where the glory of God was in the world. The throne, the Bible says in chapter 1, the throne is above the firmament. But the cherubim with the eyes and the wheels, and the eyes are everywhere, and they're glowing and they're going like lightning here, to and fro, throughout the firmament. And what the eyes are doing, they are looking. The Bible said that the eyes are the spirits of the cherubims. What they're doing is they're looking for anybody that brings glory to the Lord. And they show up. The throne is there, so they hightail it back to the throne like lightning in the sky. They're there. But somebody is bringing glory to God, and whichever way that the four faces of the cherubims, whichever way they're facing toward where somebody's bringing glory, like lightning, they go that way. And the whole time, the wheel within the wheel and the eyes are looking. Who's bringing glory? And in just a moment, they can be there where somebody is glorifying God, and they show up. When Ezekiel determined that he wasn't going to be afraid, he wasn't going to be broken down, he would listen to the Word of God, he would allow the Spirit of God to empower him, the things that cannot be described, that are written concerning sight. And what Ezekiel saw, those things he could not describe by writing it down. We have it penned, but Ezekiel couldn't even explain what he was seeing, and it was the sight of his eyes. But when the hand of God was on him and the power of God was working in his life, he no longer saw the wheels in a wheel. He no longer saw the cherubims, but he heard. Amen. I don't know where they're at. There they are. And the cherubim showed up in Ezekiel's life. And it was not by sight. It wasn't about the cherubim, and it wasn't about the wheels within a wheel. It was about the glory of God. Amen. And the power of God was on Ezekiel. And you know, if you're walking with God and you have your time of your secret place and you get a hold of God, and sometimes it happens in the service, sometimes it'll happen on a Monday morning. Thank God for Monday mornings where it happens, because you know Mondays are Mondays. But God shows up, and you know that He's shown up. And how about revival meetings? You've been here where God shows up, right? You can't see anything. You guys say, man, I wish you were here. I wish you'd have seen this. What'd you see? I wish you were here. That's about the way it goes. And so here, Ezekiel says yes to the Lord, and when he does that, the power of God is with him. Every believer in this place tonight has the power of God that can potentially be with you if you want to do the work of God and live for the Lord. Not only is the power of God is with him, but notice in verse 23 of chapter 3. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, as the glory which I saw by the river of Kebar, and I fell on my face. So now he goes from hearing the rushing wind, hearing the wings of the cherubim. Now he gets to where God wants him to be, and he begins to see the glory of God. I wonder tonight if we would admit that if God were to reveal His power in our lives, and as we yield ourselves to Him, we'll not only know it in our heart, we'll not only experience it in our prayer life, but then we'll see it in our daily walk. And Ezekiel was able to see it. And then we find in verse number 22, the hand of God was upon him. Verse 22. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me, arise, go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Now, the challenges are around him, the people, the problems. The challenges are within him. Is he going to be afraid? Is he going to break down? Is he not going to hear? Is he going to be like the rest of them, rebellious? The challenge of the Lord is this. I'm going to clean you up, Ezekiel, and I'm going to use you. And every man in this building, say, by the grace of God, God wants to clean you up, lift you up, stand you up, reveal His presence in your life, and empower you. And God has a challenge. You know what the challenge is? You didn't do that yesterday. You might not have done that last week. But God's got confidence that He's going to somehow, some way, turn your heart, sir. Because He hears you say, I love the Lord. He hears you testify. And He says, there's a potential here. A powerful potential. I want to use him. I want to use that lady. And the challenge of the Lord is this, is me. I'm the challenge of the Lord. What is God going to do? Is He going to set me over to the side and not use me? Is He going to say fooey on that? I hope not. Don't you? Don't you say, no, I don't want that to happen in my life. I don't want the Lord to put me on a shelf. I want Him to meet the challenge. And He says, I will empower you. I will speak to you. I will give you all the resources you need to be successful in your Christian walk. But then watch this.
I'm closing. Did I say I was closing? I love to close. I close three or four times in a service. I love to close. Chapter 3 now. I'm truly closing the last line of the message. Verses 13 through 17. I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness. Bitterness is another word for rebellious. God mentions rebelliousness 9 times. So what does he do? Now watch this. Listen carefully. Because this, if you don't get anything else, get this. He says to Ezekiel, I'm going to use you and I'm going to give you power. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put in you a streak. Not rebellion like they are, but I'm going to put in you a streak of being hard-headed. I'm going to put in you a streak that you're going to do what I say, and you're not going to let anybody else tell you what to do except for me. I'm going to put that in you. All right? So he gives him bitterness. Now, not bitterness like because of sin, because of failing God. God, listen, God made Ezekiel tough to match the toughness of the hour. That would not have happened except for Ezekiel yielding himself. Then he says, I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. The other ideal that the people had was that they were hard-headed and hard-hearted. The word strong means that God gave Ezekiel the ability against anybody stiff-headed and stiff-hearted. He gave Ezekiel the power to be rebellious, but Ezekiel wasn't going to be rebellious because of what God put in him. God put in Ezekiel the ability to be hard-headed and impudent and hard-hearted, but it was not the same because he knew that he made it where Ezekiel would be tailored just for him as a spiritual man to be being able to withstand against all of this. Now watch this. He says in verse number 15, then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Abib that dwelt by the river of Kibar, and I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. God gave Ezekiel power. He's offered to you power. He's offered to you a stubbornness to stay with it and not quit. But then in spite of the hardness that God puts in you to keep standing, you'll pick that Bible up. He tells Ezekiel, now you just sit down among this crowd of rebellious people and don't say a word. And look at what they're going through. They're rebellious. They're hard-hearted. And they're stubborn. And I'm going to make you where you care about them, even though they're rebellious. And he sat there with nothing to say for 7 days among the same crowd that God had already told him. They're rebellious, hard-hearted, hard-headed. And now I want you to go in the power of my might and sit down among them. Don't say a word and see what they're going through. You see, there's somebody in here tonight. You're rebellious. You won't listen to Brother Wilkins. But the God of heaven's given Brother Wilkins the power to be just as hard-headed as you are, stubborn as you are. But then God lets him sit down right in among you, and he says, well, if they knew what I knew, if they knew the love of God like I knew the love of God, if they knew the grace of God like I know the grace of God, they'd melt right now and quit being so rebellious
God in His grace doesn't take us away. He gives us the power to withstand, so I'm not going to quit on God. I don't plan to quit on God this year. I don't expect you to quit on God this year. I don't expect you to throw in the towel. I expect you to be used by God, and God give you a fortitude and confidence and care and strength and power to do the work of God. And then in the midst of all of that that comes up against you, you can sit down right there among the enemy and say, you know that Jesus loves you? The guy that wants to spit in your face? The guy that hates you? A world out there that wants to behead you? And God says, all right, Ezekiel, this is the same crowd I called you out of. I'm going to stick you back there. And now I want you to do something for me. But before you do anything for me, and I use you in power, I want you to sit where they sat. And that's what I'm doing. That's what we're doing. This church is sitting where they sit. Why are we sitting where they sit? Because God wants to use you and wants to use me with the power of the grace of God to see if we can make a difference in those people that are around us. Thank God for God doing that in Ezekiel's life. He's promised also to do that in our life in the hour that we live in. Thank God for the potential for power. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the attentiveness of your people. Thank you for the joy that is ours in serving the Savior. Lord, there's no way that we can describe everything that is in this text, but it's a journey that every believer is on. Lord, there's times when new things come up against us, things that we were not expecting and unexplainable, and yet, Lord, you gave us grace. I thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, the best way we know how, we yield ourselves unto thee. And Lord, you take us as a vessel. Sit us down here among the world and help us to see what they're seeing. And then help us to be able to reach them. And Lord, that we don't quit because you put something in us that keeps us from quitting. But at the same time, you put in us the care, the compassion, and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you might bless and touch in this invitation, and that you would receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.